Oh, hello. Gita Raghav. You don't look like Gita Raghav. Okay. Hello there. I guess I probably owe you a mazel tov. Right. How long are you married? Can't talk? Okay. Okay, so hello, Rabbi Schiff. Okay, so Rav Nosson Yishai, Rabbi Schwartz, you'll tell me when to start?
Yeah, 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay, so we're starting in 1 minute.
Rebbe, meanwhile, my wife has a question. Can silver be kashered?
I'll tell you a secret. I'm not a practicing rabbi. I assume it can be kashered. But I'm not, I haven't learned for smicha for a long time. So maybe Rabbi Schiff is more recently learned for smicha. Rabbi Schwartz, you people more recent than me. I don't know why there's any reason why silver is different than any other metal. I don't know why it should be different. I would assume it can be kosher, but I'm not really in the Indian. I might ruin the silver. Maybe that's the question.
I thought you were saying you're not in the business of silver.
No, there's certain things you can't kosher, like becharis, you can't kosher. I assume silver you can kosher. Now, whether it ruins the silver, yeah, that's for sure I'm not in the business of. I don't know. I think I used to, it depends what kind of koshering. For Pesach, we used to do a go on our bechers very often. Silver becker, they put in boiling hot water. But I don't know what I think that's pretty common.
Ravi can start whenever Ravi's ready.
Okay, so let us start. There's two people in the waiting room. We gotta get everyone in the waiting room. Okay, welcome everyone. It's nice to see everyone. Okay, so there's a Gemara in Chagiga. So in Chagiga, Das Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Malachi, "B'shaftem bein tzaddik l'rasha." You'll see the gap, the difference, the incredible gap between a tzaddik and a rasha, bein oved et elokim la'asher lo'avda. So there's two amazing gaps and mentions between a tzaddik and a rasha, between an oved and a not oved. So the Gemara asks the Kasha that the Pasuk is redundant because they're both the same. So they say no, that the Oved and Lo Oved are within the category of Tzaddikim. There's two categories, Tzaddik and Rasha, one big gap. Then within Tzaddik, there's two gaps. There's an Oved Elokim, Shelo Avdo. Who is, what is that gap? It says, one is he learns 100 times, and one he learns 101 times. Practice Gemara, because a person for such a little difference, you're going to call it such a tremendous big gap of Avdo and Lo Avdo. How can you make such a tremendous gap of Avdo and Lo Avdo between such a small difference? So the Gemara says, in, yes. Say it, Ahmad, Mishuk Shokhamarim. Learn from the marketplace of teams of Chamorim or camels, or I don't know, Chamorim are donkeys, or we'll say cab drivers. Asara Parsi Bezuzah. If you're traveling 10 Parsi, they only charge one Zuzi. And if you go, Hadassah, but if you go a little more than 10, you go into the 11th, so then all of a sudden the price doubles. You have to pay two zuzei. So you see that a small difference makes an incredible difference. Okay, that's a Gemara. So the shaila is what that Gemara means. So maybe some of you people heard this already, don't know. But the way I think that the Bavli Musar learned shaila in this Gemara, extremely yesidistic a thing, that the Hashem runs in Shamayim, the Olam HaShamayim, the same as a bus in this world. In this world, there's such a thing as cutoff points. Person gets a 65, he passes the test, he gets his degree, gets his diploma. Okay, there's basically, there's a little difference between a 65 and a 90. Maybe the guy wants to get into another, a different program, they'll look at his grade. But almost for most things, 65 and a 90 are the same. Guy got a 65, you're passed. A guy gets a 64, he flunks. The gap between a 64 and a 65 is amazing. It's tremendous. Rochel Mizrafamayra. Guy Tainas. Guy gets a 64. Because I got one point wrong, one silly. I wanted to make that one extra little spelling mistake. I lost one point. Because of that, I can't graduate college. There isn't. What can we do? They have to have a cutting point. If we're going to say that 64 passed, then the guy with 63 will complain. So we have to make some kind of cutoff point. Maybe it's arbitrary, are arbitrary. They made a cutoff point, 65 passes, 64 flunks. So just like in the Malchus Sa'ara, there are cutoff points. You're speeding a certain amount, you don't get a ticket, certain amount, you get a ticket. Once you go off the limit, over a limit, you get a ticket. The same thing is true by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cutoff points. So a person who is chazer, is learning 100 times, he's a certain level of a tzaddik. He gets tremendous schar. A person who chazer is 90 is the same level of tzaddik. Okay, obviously the guy who chazer is 100 gets a little bit more, but it's within the same realm. A person who chazer is 101, he all of a sudden goes into a different dimension. He skips to another madrega. There's a new category. You enter into, you change. You went from the minor leagues to the major leagues. You're ain't a daimer. Shiva used to give this mashal, the minor leagues and major leagues. He used to say that the worst guy in the major leagues and the best guy in the minor leagues are probably not that different. The difference between the worst player in the major leagues and the best player in the minor leagues is probably very, very slight. But in salary, in COVID, in everything, the Rochel Mizrafamayra, because he's for it made it into the major league. He crossed that line, and this guy's still stuck in the minor leagues. So there are imaginary lines which make major, major differences. Okay. Now, we don't know where these lines are, and we don't know for what things are these lines. But there are certain things we do know in certain places. And one of them that we have in Mesira is tshuva, that there's two categories, and they are rochik mizrach from Meirat. One is called a person who is a chayzer b'tshuva, and the other category is a person who's not chayzer b'tshuva. These are two camps. And the way they are, the difference, they're judged completely different. Comes Yamin Arayim, the person who is in the camp of a Chayzer B'tshuva, he's treated a whole different way. Gotta give him time, give him chesed, he's about tshuva, and he'll do tshuva on everything later. You know, we give him, there's a certain tremendous rachmanis. Person who's not a Chayzer B'tshuva in a different camp, he's treated totally different. It's Rochel Mizrafamayra, the gap. Now, how do you cross the line to enter into the camp of Chayzer B'tshuva? So Rav Yisrael says already, and if the Rishiri says this too, you don't have to be, in order to cross that line, you just have to do tshuva in one slight thing, anything. Because the word is, that even though you want to be in the camp of tshuva for everything, but since there's a logic called mitzvah gereres mitzvah, so if you once you cross the line that you're doing, you're moving. It's like, you know, there's a difference between a car that's dead, doesn't move, and a car that's moving, even if he's moving at a turtle pace. If he's moving, then there's a potential. You can keep on moving and keep on moving. In 120 years, you'll get somewhere. And especially because mitzvah goer is mitzvah. And as you keep on moving, you pick up speed. So the fact, once a person is doing tshuva, even if it's a dakedakis, then he's already in the gather of oisa tshuva for everything, not just for the one little thing he did tshuva. Because of this concept that we're saying, mitzvah goer is mitzvah. So this means this guy is, he's already working on tshuva on everything. He's starting. He started the path. So he's on his way. Okay, I mean, he's not there yet. My projection, it might take him 50 years to get there. And even that, not that he's going to get there, but there's a potential that in 50 years he'll get there. Once there's a potential that he'll get there in 50 years, he's already in the gather of Isa Tshuva for everything. The other guy who's not moving at all, he's not doing nothing. He's dead. So it's one of the most important things in Yashana, Yom Kippur, Sartanei Tshuva, is at least to do tshuva on something, to show life, to move a drop forward. And because of this, and there's other reasons too, but Reshiva used to say a very big chiddush, that everybody on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when they pick a project, you have to pick certain projects to work on. So the tendency, and there's a lot of logic in it, is to pick the project as something that you're bad at. That makes sense. You take your biggest aveira, and you say, that's going to be my project. But Reshiva Taine, that there's a certain downfall for that, because there's the biggest aveira, there's a reason why it's your biggest aveira, because you have a very big predisposition to that aveira. And therefore, it's not so pashut that you're really doing tshuva, because your kabbalah might be so weak that there's like not the chance in a million that you're going to do tshuva, you're going to stop. Maybe yes, maybe not. You should try. You don't give up hope. You never know. But there's a possibility that it might not be potentially good. But what we recommend instead is, or not instead, also, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but also, if instead of picking your biggest aveira, you pick your biggest strength, because adarabba, and your biggest strength is a very good chance that you will move forward, you will succeed. After all, it's your biggest strength. You have a certain tremendous strength in that. So it's very likely that you're going to go forward. You'll succeed. The reason why it's your strength is you have a predisposition. You're good at it. So if you really work at it, then if you go, you'll really go places. So like in that example they were giving in the baseball player, Shiva used to say, if you have a person who is naturally a good hitter and naturally is a poor fielder, so if he's going to work on his fielding, so what's going to happen? He'll be a good hitter, you know, a nice good hitter and a nice, decent fielder. But he's not going to make it to the major league. Just a good hitter doesn't make it to the major league. But if he works on his hitting, he sits all day and practices hitting, since he has natural talent, he might become an amazing hitter. He'll become an amazing hitter. He's going to attract the attention of the major leagues. This guy we need. Every time he gets up to bat, he hits a home run. Wow, this guy's amazing. And once the major leagues are interested in you and you join the major league, there's a concept of mitzvah goeres mitzvah. If you're in the major leagues, they'll make sure and you'll be motivated and you'll be able to field also. Guy, once he gets in the major leagues, he figures out how to field. It's like enough of a pressure, and it's also from everyone. So you solve your problem through the back door. But I've done many examples of that. A person who has a bai in yeshiva who has certain problems doing certain aveiros, he shouldn't be doing, he's socializing. So the direct way of doing tshuva is tell him, stop socializing. But there's an indirect way. You tell him to work better on you're naturally a big maspid, work on your asmada. You become the world's biggest master, and maybe you'll stop socializing. Right? So what the point is that it's very important that at least, I'm not saying only, but one of the projects that we make, person has to make a project when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Not enough of Kabbalah, I'm going to be Kabbal to be a tzaddik. You need a project. So one of the projects is to pick something that we're naturally good at. And to say, figure out what you're good in and make a project how to be better. That's really one of the, you know, and that, and by doing that, for that probably you really, really go. So therefore it'd be a real successful tshuva. And once it's successful tshuva, you'll get the tremendous advantage that you're in the gather of Isa tshuva, which is a tremendous thing. Okay, that was the first thing I wanted to say. I want to say another point. We have in Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, we say, we say this really in the Sanatayka, we say that there are three things really, tshuva, tefillah, and staka. So I want to quickly just touch on some of the other points too. So we spoke about tshuva. Tshuva, you have to have a project. In tefillah. Tefillah, Rashiva used to say, at a very famous shmooze, he came out said it every year in Rosh Hashanah, the same shmooze. I don't say every year, but almost every other year, he would say over the same shmooze. Basically, there's a Gemara that when the Beis it's brought in the Chidush Aleph in this week's Parsha, that when the Beis HaMikdash, when they had a Nevuah, the Beis HaMikdash was going to be Nechrav, and they were afraid that Beis HaMikdash would be Nechrav. So they sent a very impressive Choshev delegation of the Kohen Gadol and a bunch of to Chuldah Neviah that she should daven. So the Gemara asked, you know, why when they sent such an important delegation to motivate to daven, they should have sent it to Yechezkel HaNavi. Yechezkel HaNavi was a guy, not Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, sorry. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Yirmiyahu was a god of Adar. And he was obviously he was much greater than Chuldah, the bigger Tavat Chacham. He was a god of Adar. So they should have sent it to Yirmiyahu. So the Gemara says, because Chuldah was a woman, and a woman have more rachmanis, because a woman is more emotional than men. So Rashiva said, but it comes out here a tremendous chiddush for you saying, I could go ahead and get Rav Chaim Kineski to daven for me, the God of Adar. I'm sure Rav Chaim Kineski, right? Yirmiyahu HaNavi is going to daven, right? Yirmiyahu is equal to Rav Chaim Kineski, right? He's going to daven with tremendous kavana that there shouldn't be a Korban Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu obviously cared about the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Except that there's some woman, because she's a woman, she's more emotional, she'll have a little more kavana. So we prefer, if you can only have one, you can only send a special message to one, we take the kavana of the woman over the God of Adar. So we use the basically say, is what you see from here, they said, Ms. Summer, we're only talking about a dakas of kavana. Everything about Rashiva was always dakas, obviously. Said the obvious prince, some of the Chuldah over Yirmiyahu is only some dakas in Kavana, and that dakas in Kavana is greater. It wins against having the God Adar. So, you know, the practical application to us is even if we sometimes we feel, who are we to daven? We're not the God Adar. You know, if I had Rav Chaim Kineski, okay, but who am I? So the ikar is that tefillah is not totally on. Necessarily gathers. Doesn't mean it doesn't help. Obviously, there's a good tefillah helps if you're a gadol. But the ikar, you say the tefillah is kavana. And therefore, what we have to do is to get kavana. Now, what does that mean practically? There's a practical problem in the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening. We'll talk about both of them together. Is that a person can have kavana when you talk about things that are very meaningful to him. But most of the davening, we're talking about even Shemona Esrei, is that doesn't seem to relate so much to them. You know, it talks about things, I don't know what they mean. You know, I want strength. I want life. I want health. I shouldn't be affected by COVID. You know, I want, it's a forgiveness on a particular Averis, it's Yom Kippur. You know, very often you don't find in the tefillah exactly what we want. So I heard from a very big gadol that you have to have a emunah, that Chazal, who were Nevi'im, who wrote the tefillah, obviously everything's in there. They didn't leave something out. And all the Averas, even if you can't find your Avera in the Vida Yom Kippur, it's in there. In Ashamdu, Bagandu, it's there. Don't worry. And all your Bakashas of all the things that you're in there that you want is also in there. But we don't see it. They were so smart. They put everything in. The problem is, but since that's good, then it's there. But since the Iker is Kavana, so if I don't see it, I don't get Kavana. But when I say something that I want, that's Ma'ir de Kavan. So therefore, it's an Eitzah Taiva. Reshiva used to say this too, that at the end, both on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, especially when it's not on Shabbos, because Shabbos makes special halachic shaitas, to add your own bakashas. At the end of Shmona Esrei, we say Yud Ratzon Im Revi, which many people say it right before the Kai Netzor, but I say it. And then you add your own bakashas, and you can be very explicit exactly what you want. And by adding your own bakashas, you can go ahead, and therefore the advantage is not that really these bakashas weren't in the davening, but you'll get more kavana when you say it. And on Yom Kippur, when you're doing vidui, to say add those bakashas of vidui for the explicit averes that you know you've done, and you have much more kavana when you speak out the explicit avera. When you say it out, instead of saying you say, that I spoke Yash Lashon Hara about Yanko. you mentioned explicitly, then there's more charata. There's more feeling. Okay, that is what, when it comes to tefillah. So the eighth of Taiva in tefillah is that we should add our own bakashas. Then we get to staka. Now, many people, especially, and yeshiva guys get turned off with staka because they don't have big money. Now, some Baruch Hashem do, but some don't. But it's important to know that in this Sfarim say that staka does not necessarily mean only with money. There's a Rabbeinu Yoina, there's an amazing Rabbeinu Yoina in Igeres HaTshuva Oz Chaf Zayin, who basically says that staka just means giving. It's like a form of chesed. And he says, for example, if an ani comes and you make him feel good with your words, he says that could be worth more than giving him all the money in the world. A person can be the greatest donor even if he has no money. And the maisa, in that vein, it's also obviously a person gets schar from akshava taivim and star from maisa. But a large part is what you're actually giving to. Because there is a special added schar if you succeed. And different people succeed more in staka than others. And it's really not totally in the money. I have a sefer here. It happens to be a chassidish sefer. But I was looking at it during a shiur called Derech Amuna B'Omaisa Rav. He basically says that, for example, let's say when you're doing a staka of, you're supporting someone who's learning. Now, if he's already world famous God, though, he doesn't need your support. Rav Chaim Kineski doesn't need your support. You're supporting a 30-year-old unknown learner. Now, sometimes that guy really not such a reason. He's a little bit of a phony. He learns a little bit. He drinks coffee a little bit, Okay, so it's a mitzvah. Machshava Taiva Misar Femaisa. You're trying to support someone learning, even if he's not learning. Even he's not learning the Shema, but he's... you get schar for your desire. Definitely is a big mitzvah. But what happens if the guy that you're supporting, it comes out to be the Chazon Ish? Because Rav Moshe Feinstein, and there were cases, there are people, you hear stories of people that supported, right? So the schar is amazing. There's a story, I forgot my name, the guy can have to help me. Rabbi Schwartz, you have to help me if you're still there. And Rabbi Harris, Rav David Harris, grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. There was no high school. He went to the elementary school. Says the principal, was it Rabbi Noman? Anyone know? Was it Rabbi Noman? Anyone know the name of the principal?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, so the principal, he happened to be an Ertin Chafetz Chaim. He went ahead, the parents were apparently thinking of sending him to public school because they're not gonna send him out of town. He's a little young kid. They're from parents. But you know, they were, you know, there's no high school. And the principal went and basically convinced the parent to send their son out of town to yeshiva, Chafetz Chaim. So I'm sure it could be he sent other kids out of town. And he gets tremendous charge for every kid he sent out of town. But by sending Rav David Harris out of town, he hit the jackpot, right? So there is such a thing that sometimes you do a mitzvah and it's the same mitzvah, but you can hit the jackpot. You can give the same $100 and hit the jackpot. Right? And you give the $100, you know, and you keep, you know, someone in learning, you go ahead and you, whatever it is, and sometimes you give staka, and okay, you know, what did you get? What did that staka do? And sometimes it's amazing. It changed, you know, it saved the person's life. Same thing with saying hello to someone. Same thing with being mikar of someone. So many mitzvahs we try and doing. Obviously, you get tzchar for the maisa. I'm not saying you don't get a tzchar. But there's a tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Sometimes you get an extra tzchar. So he writes in this sefer, Derech Amunah Maisa Rav. So it's not fair. Why does Rabbi Noman get such, you know, and I don't? Why does this guy walk down the canal and he saw a guy drowning and he pulled the guy up and he gets char saving a life? I would have saved the guy's life if I was there. Why does he get that? So he says, obviously there is cheshbonus, there's mitzvah gerer's mitzvah. He says as follows. The ain naisim shem dabar kedusha mitzvah. In order to get a dabar kedusha mitzvah, it doesn't happen. You have to have a previous chus, the Torah, and you have to have work for it. Ubakosh is a tefillah, and you have to daven for it. So part of giving staka, and staka, what the Mefarshim are saying, does not just mean the charity. It means staka includes in that many, many forms of chesed, is you have to daven that our staka should be the right, good to be a successful staka, and in everything. In other words, you have to daven and mitzircha also that when we daven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one of the things we should daven for is not only for life in this world and health and happiness, but we need tremendous siyata d'shmaya, because two people can do the exact same thing and one person can hit gold and they get such a big eschus. And a lot depends on siyata d'shmaya. So that's really one of the important things to daven that many people forget to, that we have to have that tefillah for the siyata d'shmaya. So just in summary, my time is up. So we have like this. We have, first thing we have is tshuva. Tshuva means we say you gotta, besides working on what you're bad in, you should pick the thing that you're best in, and that it's the easiest, and that you're most motivated, and you're the best guy in the yeshiva in that area. And pick that as your project, because for that, you'll definitely move up. And the fact that you're moving up puts you in the gather of Oisei Tshuva. Here's a guy who's moving. He's moving up in the world. He's in an upswing. He's getting better. And mitzvah gerer's mitzvah is going to work everything else. And now put him in the dimension, and now put him in the gather of Eisei Tshuva, which is a Roch of Mizrach from Ayrib. That's the first thing. Second thing is davening. We have to know the Iker of davening is Kavana, and therefore the Eitz Taiva that's always said is to make our own tefillahs, add your own bakashas after Yudaratzen, as explicit as possible, to be Marech. And the third thing is in staka, that's real, to realize that you don't have to be a millionaire to do staka. There are many things that are equal. You can save a person's life with words. You can give them encouragement. Rabbi Yonah is saying that a person who speaks nicely to an ani is a bigger staka than giving him money, even giving him $1 million, giving him self-respect, to giving him encouragement. Person is not just that. There are many other ways of doing, helping people. And really what you need to do, if you really want to be able to get staka properly, is to daven. We have to daven that our staka, that we should hit the jackpot in all our mitzvahs. And therefore we should be, that's part of davening, is not just for gashmias, but also the davening to be successful in ruchnias. Okay, I basically finished. I don't know if anyone has anything they want to say, but I'm finished.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Right, is that legal, Rabbi Schwartz? I can open the floor?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, okay. I got the okay from the boss. Okay, anyone have one of anything?
Yeah, Rabbi mentioned about speaking after Yehula Ratzon before Elokein Itzor. Does that mean that during the Yom Kippur Vidui, you could just speak at any point, like add in your own in English and just start your book?
I believe so. If you said it already, Yehula Ratzon, you know, there are some people that don't say it, but if you said it already, which I do, I think, you know, the mission way that's in the many, most, I think that most people do. I don't know. I know most people do, but I say Yehula Ratzon right after Shalom. So then, yes, you can add. That's you're allowed to add, especially this is part of your davening. You know, you're part of your davening. I have to say English. I'm not familiar about English. I don't know, but probably, I don't know. Whatever, you know, you daven with a minyan. I think it says you daven a minyan. You can daven in English too. If you're not minyan, then you don't daven in English, right? I think so. Right? I think that's how it works. I'm not so familiar without looking in the Mishnah Berurah inside. But you can definitely add other things. Okay, anybody else? Well, it must have been an amazing shmooth. No, and everyone's speechless. Hello, Zuri Perkat. Pikes. I didn't see you before. Okay,
and Rabbi, quick question. It's a Chanan Weingarten. I'm just wondering, the Gabe focusing in on doing Kabbalahs on the specifics or on Klaliyistika things, such as, you know, like not being too specific, like let's say Atre Kamocha, like focusing more on having Kabbalah to learn that Indian more as opposed to changing a behavior.
My impression is that it's much, the more general you are, the less likely you'll be successful. That's just my impression. And the goal in tshuva is to succeed. In other words, the problem is many people make kabbalas that are so general, but then they don't succeed. It's like, I make a kabbalah, I'm going to be a tzaddik, you know, but there's no practical plan. If there's no practical plan, so there's no way of succeeding. The more there's a very defined what you do, then you're more likely to do it. Now, if you have a very practical plan, how you're going to do the Claudius, okay, that's also, but you have to have something explicit. You can't just say, I'm going to work on it after somebody. If you're going to say, I'm going to go every day and look at a guy and try and see his Midas, and every day for at 4:15, I'm going to, you know, that's okay. That's a plan. But it has to be down to some tick. The more it's explicit with a plan, the more likely you end up doing it, because you know what you're supposed to do. You know, when the more ambiguous it is, the less likely you'll ever get done. That's just the way it is. From my own personal experience, and I'm sure anyone else will tell you that too. Doing tshuva is very hard. Changing is hard. So when you know exactly what you're supposed to do, maybe you'll do it. Hopefully.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Okay, anyway, welcome. I didn't see you before either. I know, I came here with a different screen.
No. I came late.
Okay. Okay, anyone else have anything to say? Anyone?
I just wanted to clarify something. You said earlier that if a person does a small Kabbalah, so he's together tshuva, meaning he's on that side.
I said it not just makes one good. There's a small Kabbalah that is realistic that he might actually do. In other words, Hashem knows many people make a lot of Kabbalahs, but if it's a Kabbalah that's totally unrealistic, then I don't think it puts you in the gather of Ayis tshuva, because you're not going to do it. You're just fooling yourself. So a small Kabbalah, which is realistic that you could do, and you are really seriously planning on doing it, that puts you in the gather of Ayis tshuva.
So let's say, if a person makes a Kabbalah to learn Lamashal something, let's say Musar, even though you're not doing anything Lamaisa, Does that mean, I guess you're getting a mitzvah Talmud Torah, but aside from that, like
that's what Rabbi Yisrael talks about. Rabbi Yisrael says the guy makes like a bow up to learn Musar. He's in the gather of Osa Tshuva for every single Avera under the sun, because it is Mashpia. And not necessarily Mashpia right away, but in the eventually, if you learn Musar, we believe Musar has Ashpa, and then it makes you better in this, and then that makes you better in that. That's a Beferesh of Rabbi Yisrael. That's where Rabbi Yisrael says it. That when you make the Kabbalah of Osa Musar, you're in the gather of, and you really, and it's a sincere Kabbalah, that you're going to very likely keep it. So he says you're in the gather of Aisa Chuba for all your Averis. That's Rabbi Yisrael.
So if a person does that, does he have to do anything else? Meaning
I didn't say gather. I didn't say you got forgiveness. Say you're in the gather. You're in the parsha. Said a person who's in the gather of Aisa Chuba is treated differently than a person who is not in that gather, but you still didn't do tshuva. You might have only done a 1,000,000% of tshuva. I'm not saying that that's all you have to do. I'm sorry if I was unclear. I just said you want to move into from the minor leagues to the major leagues. Now, once you're in the major league, doesn't mean that because you made it to the major leagues and you're the worst player in the major leagues, you quit, because they'll never put you up to play. You know, you don't want to just stop at being the worst player in the major leagues. But it's a tremendous accomplishment to get into to be the worst player in the major leagues. It's a tremendous accomplishment to go from a 64 to 65. But a person should not be satisfied with a 65, because you're 65, you'll never get accepted into a master's program, and you'll never get a. And if people want to look up in you online, you know, they won't use you. You know, you'll get your diploma, but you know, but there's differences. So, you know, of course, you have to try and go further. That's just to get across that magical line, which is major. That makes a difference. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, hi, Rabbi. This is Hanan. I just wanted to clarify. Rabbi said you only have to be together of say tshuva if you just do a Kabbalah in one area.
I said that. I mean, to make you in the gather about you again. It doesn't mean that that's all you have to do. I didn't say you got total forgiveness. You might only get 1% of forgiveness. But to move into this, a major accomplishment that you're in the gather of tshuva, yes, you just have to do one teeny thing, because as a sort of mitzvah gereres mitzvah, you're ready. You crossed the line. You went from a guy who's dead to a guy who's alive. The difference between a guy who's dead and the guy who's alive is very, very slight. Doesn't mean that that's where you want to be. You don't mean a guy in a coma who's still alive, but the difference between a guy who's alive and dead and a guy who's dead is in chashivas is, you know, if you murder someone who's alive, still breathing, you're chayim misa. If you murder someone who's dead, he's dead. You didn't do nothing. So halakhically, it's treated very differently. You just need to get into the gather of Aisa Tshuva, you just need one thing. But you have to have one thing that you're really, really doing tshuva on. And that ain't so easy. Because it ain't so easy to do really, really tshuva. You know, a guy makes a kabbalah and then 5 minutes later he forgot his kabbalah. I don't know if that's real osei tshuva. Many people fool themselves on Yom Kippur. They make kabbalahs and then, well, it's all Yom Kippur, they already forgot what their kabbalah was. I think they might be fooling themselves. So that's not the gather of a tshuva. You take something that you really are good in and you make a real kabbalah, and you're in the gather of osei tshuva.
But how does that work? If like in regards to that one Inyan that I pick, considered alive, but regards to all the other Inyan, and I'm still considered dead because I'm still pointing the wrong direction.
Since the mitzvah gereres mitzvah, so if you're alive in this area, then you're it's relevant to everything else, because we said once you're moving at a turtle's pace, and then you're eventually, we said in 50 years. you can get to everything, but we don't know. It's not mukhruf, but it's within the realm of a possibility. So therefore, you're in the gather of Aisa Tshuva for everything, as long as there's a possibility. You're moving at a snail pace, but also it snowballs, so it can speed up, because mitzvah goer is mitzvah, and you can keep on going for 50 years, and you'll keep on going at 50 years at this speed, and snowballing and speeding up, because the mitzvah goer is mitzvah. It is possible. It's not to say that you'll end up doing tshuva and everything. Itzada says, when Hashem judges us, he doesn't look into the future. He looks at us about Asher Husham in the present. So as long as we're in the, if there's a potential based on what we're doing that it might need to tshuva to everything eventually, then we're paskin now and together of also tshuva for everything.
But I don't have to plan out how each step of the way this year I'm going to do this and then
you'll go crazy planning it out. You're taking the first step, and when you get to the next step, you'll think about the next step.
Is it okay, just, to
get to just to get to that first gather? Obviously, you want to do more than that. You can do more. I'm not trying to discourage you doing more. You think that at least this is like we must do this because we got to get to that gather. Now you want to do more, then for sure do more if you can. You know, certain things I don't want to just be together. Some things I want to be better than together. Yeah, okay.
I figure.
Okay, have a good year. Okay, let me wish everyone, I don't know anyone, and so I can still listen to anyone, but some people, they wish have a ksiva, ksima toiva, a shana toiva, take a sego, take a sego, the outer, the chayim toivim, and the shana. That's the official yeshiva bracha. Okay, and anyone have anything else to say, or we'll close.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Okay, take care, everyone. Okay, goodbye.